Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this privilege to come into your presence, to learn at your feet. I recognize, Lord, my limitations, my inadequacies, my human frailties. I ask you for fresh mercy, that, Lord, fresh mercy will grant me unction from your throne. Lord, it will grant me, Lord, divine enablement, so that I will speak your word. Lord, as you inspire and direct, that it will come forth with power. It will come forth with accuracy. It will be simple to understand, Lord, and it will do an eternal work in our hearts and our lives, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because, Lord, as this word goes forth, make me a pure channel, that the word will flow from you through me to your people, that this work will be done in all our hearts, including my own, in the name of Jesus. Let your word, as your word goes forth, let your power back it. Let yokes be broken. Let there be healings, internal and external. Let there be deliverance. Lord, give us power so that we will be doers of your word and not hearers only, bringing forth more fruit that is well pleasing in your sight, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as the word goes forth, help me to be concise, Holy Spirit. I lean on you, help me to be precise, so I will speak only as you direct, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because as the word goes forth, help me that, Lord God, as I come now, I duck under the covering of my spiritual fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, and as this word goes forth, help me so that the anointing and the unction upon them, Lord, you will cause to cover me in the name of Jesus, so that I will minister this word beyond my natural ability. Lord, according to the grace that is upon their own lives, that this word will bring them refreshing. Lord, it will bring, Lord, strong encouragement and inspiration to them and to all that hear it, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, to bring forth out of the treasure of this word things both old and new, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is our eighth lesson, and just a short recap. Last time we were here, we were looking at verses 12 to 14, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, and we saw that we were in darkness in the world, you know, because we were alienated from God, we were without God, we were without hope, and God's mercy proposed a plan while we were yet enemies. Amen. And it's so fantastic. God's mercy is great. That's why every time you come to God, you can't come to God, you know, you come first, Lord. The Bible says you come, Lord, to the throne of mercy, to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy. No, because always God's mercy is what initiates everything that we do. Amen. The Bible says God is at work in us. So God's mercy initiated a plan that took us all the way from being subject to darkness, delivered us, and then took us into our inheritance. Amen. And that's the plan. The plan is from deliverance to inheritance. There's no stopping along the way. Amen. Once he brought us out, like the Father said, to bring us in. So we are going somewhere. So being born again is just putting your feet on the way and starting a journey that ultimately ends with our obtaining our inheritance. Amen. And we saw that that's what the Father does. That's what he specializes in his relationship with us. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that provides the materials. So if you're building a house, if you use that analogy, the Father is the architect, draws the plan, knows how everything should look. Okay, and then Lord Jesus Christ is the builder. He's the contractor that supplies the materials, everything. So the first thing he supplied was his own personal blood. Amen. And that's why he died, so that he will make that blood available to you and I. Why do we need the blood? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Because that's important. Amen. Yes, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Before, in the Old Testament, all we had was atonement. atonement was the covering of sin. So every year they would kill animals and their sins would be covered for an entire year. But the high priest could only go into the holiest of all once, showing that there was no access to the holiest of all yet. That was the problem. So there was always a remembrance of sin. There was always a consciousness of sin. But in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, we now have redemption. Redemption is that he has bought us back. The price has been paid for your sins. Amen. And so you don't have to live under a good conscience. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, it says that how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what? Conscience. That's what the blood is for. It is not for the expressway. The angels take care of the expressway. Amen. The blood is to cleanse that conscience. And then look at this. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into where? The holiest. By what? So you and I can enter into the very Shekinah presence of God. By that blood. Amen. And every time you sin, you must, you know, when we confess our sins, we must have that picture. Pastor says, see that. See that. Forgiveness, see that cleansing of the sin nature removed. And then Bible says, by a new, and next verse, by a new and living way. What does that way mean? It means that that way is a life way. Living is the verb form of life. Life is the noun, the name of a person, place, or thing. Okay, now, so that's the substance, all right? But living is the verb. So it's a new way. It did not exist before. It only existed through the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus. And then he took that blood into the holiest of all. And when he sprinkled on your sins, my sins, present tense sins, the few past tense sins, the future tense sins, the sins of a generation, everything was wiped out. Amen. We need to understand because that is key and takes us right in. And you know, even when, so what that blood did was it wiped out sin substance from our spirits and replaced it in an instant with Zoe. So when you believed on Jesus Christ, instantly your spirit was created in the image of God. So you went from the form of man to the form of God. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Quickly, thank you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Has a form. Pastor told us this so many years ago. Fantastic. God has a form. The Bible says that the Son came out of him. That's his form. The Bible says the whole earth is his footstool. Now imagine how he himself is. That's God's form. And he just rests his leg on the whole earth. And then you are in one place in the whole earth. Amen. That's the form of God. But by the wisdom and the power of God, he miniaturized himself. Still in the form of God. And then took a physical body. That's the form of man. Let's look at the next verse. But made himself what? Of no reputation and took upon the form of a... The form of man is the form of a servant. Man will be serving either by choice or by force. You will serve. If you don't serve God, Satan will make you serve him. You don't have a choice. Why? You are in the form of man. So what Jesus did was to cleanse that sin nature and in our spirits take us from the form of man back into the form of God. That's why I said ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. Amen. Okay, so we see, so he provided the blood. Then he provided, of course, the word of truth, you know, and that word of truth, you know, is preached through his servants, apostolic and prophetic fathers. And when you believe on that word and you practice it, it sets you free. Amen. No, we are under the dominion of darkness. But darkness does not just operate as a force. It also operates as a nature. So the root of darkness is the nature of sin. So when you remove the nature, then you break the power. Amen. All right, and that's what it did, you know. So, and then of course the Holy Spirit is the God that now releases the power to build us up into our inheritance. Amen. Man, so that's the will of God. So we saw that mercy proposed the plan, you know, through God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ provided the materials that gave us access to our inheritance, and then the Holy Spirit releases the power for the implementation of all the plan according to God's specifications. Amen. Amen. And we saw then that, you know, so though the power of sin is now broken, because when we are born again, we are born into Christ. You're not born into the kingdom of God. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, and then verse 13. Yes. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That word translates there, the one form of translation. One form of meaning of word translation is change of form. That's what he's talking. So that's what he's talking about, a change of form from the form of man to the form of God. You know, but then you don't initially come into the kingdom. You are in Christ. Amen. Now, when you are in Christ, progressively you then grow and grow and grow until you grow and enter into the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom simply means the dominion of the king. Okay? So it means the total dominion of your spirit, of your soul, and of your body by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that's what the kingdom means. So that's what he's talking about there. So there are two parts to that. There's an instant part where you get born again in your spirit. And then there's a progressive part where you and I now have to grow. And then when you grow, Bible says an entrance is ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom. In 2 Peter chapter 1. We don't have time to turn there. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So now how do we then live in the light? Because we said that even though you are now in Christ, you still have darkness in your soul because of the sin nature that is there. And you still have darkness in your body. So we are now supposed to cultivate a desire to please God. We are supposed to submit to apostolic and prophetic fathers sent by God and obey the truth that they bring to us diligently. Amen. Three things. A desire. Everything starts with a desire. Bible says, through desire, a man separated himself and intermeddled with all wisdom. It's very important. The first thing God puts there is a desire. And even in unbelievers, that desire is there. And it's through that desire that God begins to pull people. Bible says, no man can come to your son except the Father draw him. How does it draw him? A desire. So look in yourself and start cultivating that desire to please God. You know, and that is how God pulls us, then brings us to people who can actually help you to enter into your inheritance. You now have to submit to them in your heart and to all authority. And then you now need to obey their instructions. And progressively, as you walk in the truth, you walk in the light. Amen. All right. Bible says the path of justice is a shining light. So progressively we come out of darkness into light and we enter into our inheritance. And we saw last time that Elisha followed Elijah, you know, to inherit the double portion, which is a type of the inheritance, double portion of the fullness of the power of the Spirit without measure, by putting pleasing God above any other thing. That was his priority. And then diligently using the power of the Spirit to crucify the flesh. You know, and Gehazi, in contrast, did not do that. And instead, he inherited an eternal curse. You know, and that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're now looking at Colossians chapter 1 in verse 15. Amen. Colossians 1 verse 15. Thank you. Thank you. Who is the image? He's talking about Christ there. Okay. Let's you know, he's talking about, you know, through the kingdom of his dear son. He's talking about Jesus, the son of God. Okay. So he's talking about, say, let's read together again. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. What does that mean? God is invisible, but you can make him visible. Jesus made God visible. He gave God a face. He gave God hands. He gave God a voice. He demonstrated God. And God wants us to give God a face. In your family, God needs a face. He needs a voice. He needs to be seen. He needs you to express him. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Give it to me in the New King James. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers. Notice that God didn't talk to everybody. He spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Okay, next verse. Has in these last days spoken to us by who? So when pastor is preaching, who's talking to you? It's his son. When you are being corrected by your parents, who's talking to you? His son. Amen. Whom he has appointed what? Heir of all things. So Jesus is going to inherit everything at the very end. Through whom also he made the worlds. Next verse. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus has sat down, brethren. You need to stand up. Amen. Because he's passed, by sitting down, he's finished. He's passed the baton to you and I. Amen. All right. So let's look at these three things. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image. That is exact image. Look at the message. Give me the Message Bible. Message Bible. Thank you. The Son, this Son, perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's character. He holds everything together by what he? Powerful words. Amen. But then you know your words are powerful. They're powerful, not as like his own words, but you have to be trusted with the power. Otherwise, you may destroy things. Okay, so what is God saying here? God is talking to us about the fact that we must be his image. We must have the exact representation of his character. His character of love must be stamped in our hearts. Stamped. There's a hymn that talks about stamp thy image in his place. God wants to, when you stamp something, what does that mean? It means it's authentic. It means it's original. It means that it carries with it the full authority and the power vested in the owner of the stamp. Amen, brethren. God wants to stamp Jesus on the inside. In your character. In my character. Amen. And then, through that, express the brightness of his glory. And then upholding all things by the word of his power. So we look at three things now. Look at Matthew 6:13. We're not turning there. Matthew, the Bible talks about, kingdom, power, and glory. Matthew 6:13 says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the, and the, forever. So they're all together. Kingdom, power, and glory. Now, God desires that we, his church, grow primarily in divine love. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Kingdom is the total dominion of love in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Total. So we don't see you anymore. We see love. You are not envious. You are not jealous. You are not boastful. You do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You esteem others as better than yourself. You are quick to forgive. You ever bear well with other people. You believe the best of them. And you never fail. That is where God is taking you to be. Amen. And we are going to get there in Jesus' name. That is where God wants, that's what God wants his church to grow in primarily. It's not in prosperity. That will come. It will be added on. The Bible says that you seek first the kingdom, and then what happens? Other things shall be added. But sometimes we use the other things to assume, whereas we should use proper indicators, love, to check where you really are. Are you really growing? Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. Are you really speaking in love? Are you acting in love? That's what God wants to see. Okay? So, and there's a reason why. Look at Jeremiah 29:23-24. Quickly. 9:23. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Let's read it together. Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't boast in it. Don't use it as an indicator of how well you are doing. How much wisdom do I have? Okay, I'm okay. No. Neither let the mighty man glory in his. Neither let the rich man glory in his. What should you glory? But let him that glorieth. God allows boasting. In one thing, let him glory in this, that he what? Understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, that's compassion, judgment, that's wisdom, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. God's delight is love, not stocks, not assets, not cash, not ability, not political influence, not those things. Those things God will give. What Satan is giving is the counterfeit. And what he gives, he can always take. But if you do it God's way, there is something that comes out of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 21. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded where? Is it in wisdom? Is it in riches? Next verse. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know what? The love of Christ. This is the main curriculum. I don't know what we did with it. This is the main curriculum. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. So you know, when you settle for something else, you are shortchanging yourself of the fullness of God. Amen. Good morning, mommy. You're welcome. You are shortchanging yourself with the fullness. No, God, the essence of glorying in love is that it is the key that gives you access to the fullness of God. Amen. It's extremely critical that we understand that. And when you get that fullness of God, you have incredible photographic memory. You have incredible musical ability, incredible mathematical skills. That glory, that one will bring riches. You will be a creator of stupendous wealth. That's the original. This, the one that Satan wants to give you to distract you, is the photocopy. It's not worth it, brethren. Follow the main curriculum. Stay with love. Amen. Amen. Let's read it further. Yes, sir. It sure changes you. You give up your inheritance, like mommy says, for a piece of pottage. Pottage can be big. Men can stand in awe of the pottage that Satan gives you. But compared to what God wants to give you, it is worthless. Ask Esau. Ask Esau. Bible says Esau sought it carefully with tears. He was gone. He was gone. Next verse. So it's not worth it, but the next verse. Now to him. Say God is able. Say it again. God is able. God is able to take you from deliverance to inheritance. He will. If you just cooperate with him, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what? Think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. Next verse. Unto him be what? Glory. That's the real glory. In the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's Deuteronomy 28, come alive. Verses 1 to 14. Bible says that they will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Solomon is a little type. The queen of Sheba was a queen. She brought so many things. But when she saw the way he sat down, the arrangement of his throne, the order of his servants, the food of his table, and above all, the wisdom of God. Bible says that she had no strength. Brethren, they are going to come to bow. Scripture is coming to pass. If you allow God to perfect and stamp that love image in his place. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. Now, how do we enter into love? We enter into love through much tribulation. Amen. But guess what, brethren? The glory is more than worth anything else. So, Bible says it's a light affliction that worketh. It's taking you closer. Yes, Bible says the weightier glory. It says, no, you cannot compare to the weight of the glory that God has prepared for us. So, it's actually helping you and taking it forward. Satan means it to hold you back. But guess what? He's pushing you forward. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And God's power is activated by his love. So when you walk in love, it brings the power. It brings that power into operation. And we must know that, of course, Bible says power belongeth to God. All power belongs to God. You know, and spiritual power is the most superior form of power. There's intellectual power, you know. There are different forms of power. There's physical power. But all those powers are controlled and can be changed, manipulated by spiritual power. But Bible says that he that ruleth his spirit is stronger than he that taketh the city. What is he telling you? He's telling you that spiritual power is stronger than physical power. One man, Elisha, used spiritual power to blind an entire army, led them into a place, and could have killed them. That's spiritual power. And that's worth investing in. Now, of course, we're in this world, so we need to get an education. We need to do all this, but you must not do it at the expense of your spiritual education. Very important. Amen. So with it, spiritual power, God created all things, visible and invisible. All right. And, you know, it's very important to look at Hebrews 11, verse 3, Amplified Bible. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Quickly. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank God, Mom. All right. By faith, we understand that the worlds, not just this one, plural, the worlds during the successive ages. Brethren, I want you to start thinking like God. You know, we're just coming in a speck of a time. But after now, we're going to be with God forever. What will you be? What will you be in that eternal kingdom? You're only here for a while. You know, but this is not everything that there is. You know, you must see it in its proper perspective. It says, by faith, not that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. By what? The word of God. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. That's, in other words, spiritual power created physical things. And can control them. And guess what? God needs men on the earth to uphold all things by that word of his power. Amen? Because God has given the earth to the sons of men. So really, he sustains all creation. He's coming to that place where all creation will be sustained by the power coming out of his sons. You know, Adam was created to have dominion. Adam had dominion. Bible says, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, subdue. The creation was being fed from Adam's spirit. We are coming back to that time where we will come back from the form of man into the form of God, and then we'll uphold all things by the word of his power. Amen. But through the sphere of influence that everybody has, very important that we understand that. Amen. Now, this power initially is given to us in a quantifiable measure. You get born again. And then you get the earnest of it. And look at Ephesians 1:14. You get the earnest. And God wants to see what you do with the earnest. Are you going to be faithful with the earnest? Are you going to use it anyhow? Are you going to keep it like the servant that kept one talent in the ground? Keep it and let me just keep it. Let me just give him what he gave me. Very important. What are you doing with the earnest? Which is the what? Earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. God gave you the earnest to redeem the rest of the possession. He gave us the salvation of our spirits. Then he gave us the earnest, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we're not supposed to use that baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is evident in praying in tongues, praying in travail, to now save the soul and save the body. That is the redemption of the purchased possession. Jesus paid the price for spirit, soul, body. If you go to the supermarket and you pay for a 6-in-1 sound system. A 6-in-1 sound system. And they give you only the music box. They didn't give you speaker. They didn't give you Twitter. They didn't give you all the other things that you bought. That's why you paid what you paid for the 6-in-1. Bible says he will see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. Give him his 6-in-1. Amen. Everything he paid for. Spirit, soul, body. Amen. So that's, you have to walk in love. You have to, and that's why you use the earnest to develop the love of God. How do we know that we are using the love of God to develop, you know, that we're using the earnest properly? You will see yourself grow and it'll be manifest progressively in certain things. Look at James 3:2. James 3:2. Amplified. Thank you. Amplified. Okay. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. If anyone, so it's possible. If anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things. That is, he's always saying the right thing. He is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. That is control. Manifest control. Bible says that the tongue can no man tame. No, he's talking to people in the form of man. It's not, this is beyond you, it's beyond you, it's beyond you. But in the form of God, it's possible. His Bible says it's a fully developed character. So when you grow and you develop, the first thing we see is that you can control your tongue. And yes, we begin to see that control of the tongue. We begin to see, and then guess what? The degree to which your tongue is controlled, the degree to which God begins to entrust the power to you. Because you cannot give power. Somebody that will go to church and on the way, the man forgot to give you your change or was trying to deprive you of your change. And the next thing, you just use the same tongue. God can have that. He's willing that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, not to be destroyed. So he wants to see you. That's why he puts you to the tribulation. Let me see what you do under pressure. Yes, somebody is defrauding you. Somebody is disrespecting you. They are not supposed to disrespect you. What do you do? Don't give them what they did as an excuse. What is your response? You are responsible for your action. Love must be in your actions. Love must be in your thoughts. Love must be in your words. Amen. And then the power will follow. The next thing he's looking for is the degree of your obedience. Amen. We give God the glory. Hebrews 5:8. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, brethren, Jesus went through this thing. So these are course 001. You are not going to escape it. You are not going to get double promotion, and then God will just sort of make this void and just say, "Oh, we know he can do it. We know he can do it." It's not like that. You walk through it step by step. Though he were a son, yet learned he what? Obedience by the things which he suffered. That's talking about the self-denial, you know, to be able to give time to prayer, give time to study of the word, you know, and then walk in the love of God. And when he became obedient, so obedience is a sign. How do you respond to instruction? Very important. You and I have to look at that. What is your response to instruction? It's the question of how much, it tells us how mature you are. You think you're a spiritual hot rod? It's not how long you pray. How much do you obey? Now, you need to pray, but we must see the effect of the prayer you are praying in your tongue, the way you talk. We must see it in your obedience. Yes, ma. Obedience has fruit, and its fruit is evident for all to see. Amen. Verse 9. And being made... So, thank you, sir. So, he said, so even Jesus, though he was... That's what he came to do on earth. Though he was perfect in nature, he had to grow in maturity. And he went from, same thing from what you said last time, from Israel to Jerusalem to Zion. And then he grew into maturity. And then being made perfect, then God now made him the author of eternal salvation. You too, if you are made perfect, guess what? You are an author. You begin to determine salvation. Author means the person that wrote something. The person who is the authority on something. So you too, you become under God an authority. You become a savior. Men's lives become hooks to your spirit. Because God knows you're not going to fail. You're not going to wake up one morning and say, ah, Lord, I'm tired. No, you are going to be like him. In season, out of season. It's very important, you know, that we learn this. And then, of course, the measure of the influence of the power of God in our homes. Okay, in your sphere of influence, in our nation, and in the nations of the world. The Bible says in Exodus 8:4, don't turn there, where the word of a king is, there is what? Power. So power follows love. There is a power that the devil gives that is independent of whatever you, of the love of God. He just gives you power from outside. That's the power that people go to go and get from the witch at Endor. It's a false gift. Any gift that doesn't come with teaching and character is a false gift. It's a false gift. So you need to know that it's not all gifts or not all miracles are miracles. Not all miracles come from God. Don't be simple. We must not be simple. God doesn't want us to be simple. And you can see the example here in Elijah. Elijah had power. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. As we begin to round up. 1 Kings 17 verse 1. And let's read it together. And Elijah, the word Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom? Notice that he's standing before God. It's not empty words. He's standing before God. There shall be not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. Amen. Old Testament, brethren, God wants to encourage you this morning. He wants to fire you up. This is Old Testament. He said, according to my word. He didn't tell me the duration. It was after 3.5 years. He thought, I think they've learned their lesson. Lord, I've been learned their lesson. A man controlling the elements. What did they say of Jesus? Luke 8:25. Turn there. Luke 8:25. And he said to him, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. God has given such power to men, and he's going to give it again. And I'm looking at God's. Amen. People that are going to make sure they pay the price to be able to walk in it. That's the fullness of our inheritance. It's what Jesus paid for. So we must give him his 61. And look at 1 Kings 18:42. We can then see Elijah. All this, Elijah did this with measure. And we see it in Nigeria. Amen. By the grace of God. Of course, there are other people praying. We don't by any means say that we're the only ones. But we've seen in 1993... when Nigeria was going, we saw that God raised up mommy and pastor, and they gave a word. People were checking out. People were leaving the country and saying, I don't know what's going to happen. It wasn't funny. People were leaving. And no, there was no petrol. We used to walk to church. And somebody came out and held the flag and said that no, Nigeria is going to be together. And there are so many people that had prophesied that Nigeria is going to break up. They ate their words. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Let's give God a super clap of amen. We thank God for our fathers in this house. We've seen it happen with that. We've seen it happen with America, in Obama. We've seen it happen so many times. It's not even funny. When Pastor John was going to come in, when Pastor told us, this is how you are looking at me. Yeah, Pastor. I won't lie. I was one of you. I was looking, if you say so. Obasanjo, did he not come in? Did God not use him? God used him. God used all things. So you need to understand where the word of the king is available, brethren. This is quantifiable measure. This is earnest. It's available. And then there is the one without measure. Now that's the one that we want to see. Amen. And now that we're trusting that this is the season, this is the time, and the fathers are inheriting it in Jesus' name. And you will also inherit a borrowed anointing under them. Amen. Amen. And that's the will of God. Okay. So now the glory of the character within is evident, is made manifest when that spirit, that measure is poured out. Look at John 3:34. Thank you. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by what? Measure unto him. It's a spirit without measure. You cannot measure it. Compared to the one that can be measured, it comes down, you fill it up again. It comes down, you fill it up again. When you've done that for some time, suddenly, Lord comes to his temple and says, don't worry, without measure. You still keep praying because you keep to know God. You want to know God more. But now, Bible says that, no, the words I speak, as the Father directed me, my Father, he doeth the works. God will be doing the works through you. He'll be doing the works through you. You'll be a child walking on the street. No, it's all he taught you. And they get healed. You're looking at me. It's your destiny. Form of God. Change your thinking. I'm a God. Change your thinking. I'm a God. Stop thinking like a man. Start dominating in your home, your children. Dominate. First of all, dominate yourself. Yes, sir. Because if you don't dominate yourself, you can't dominate any other thing. Submit to God. Then you resist the devil, even in people. And they will flee. Yes, they will flee. The people that said, we've seen it happen before. Working with mommy is nice. You know, some people that say, no, it can't happen. Come back and say, madam, in fact, I very true. I say, boy, just change. What's the difference? Power. Same words, same thing we said. That's so when I go back, I say, mommy, because I know it's the same thing we said. I give God the glory. You know, so this is spirit without measure. You can imagine the scope of what is possible. You can now begin. You can, and it's manifest through those incredible works, incredible photographic memory. We should start thinking about these things. See yourself doing it. Yes. Amen, brethren. Start seeing it. Start creating a hunger for it. Start having a picture about it. Yes, amen. By the grace of God. One of our children in school, by the grace of God, and tells you that is a sign that he sat down and worked out a formula about a tangent, worked out, even his teacher said that, I've never seen this before. They went into the literature and checked it. It had never been found out, never been discovered. And then they Googled it. Amen. Amen. They checked mass journals. It wasn't there. Checked the internet. It wasn't there. And it's a sign. Why now? Why in this house? Why? It's a sign, brethren. It's a sign. God is trying to encourage you, inspire you, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Amen. The other thing that it is that the spirit of without measure comes with is deep teaching. It's very important. It comes with deep teaching. Look at Isaiah 25, verse 6 to 9. Isaiah 25, verse 6 to 9. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people what? A feast of what? Fat things, not lean things. Fat things in the word of God. A feast of wine on the lees, Revelation. Of fat things full of bone. That is marrow. Marrow is inside where? Bone is deep revelation. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But it is the honor of kings to search it out. And when they give it to you, like, irony. Amen. This is the same word of God that I'm reading. Amen. Of wine on the lees, well refined. Next verse. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the glory of God to conceal a matter. But it is the honor of kings to search it out. And when they give it to you, like, irony. Amen. This is the same word of God that I'm reading. Amen. Of wine on the lees, well refined. Next verse. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. That covering of being dominated. That covering of creation, you know, being under subjection. He removes that veil. And removes that veil over the nation so that we can disciple the nations. We need the teaching to disciple the nations. The incredible works attract them. The teaching disciples them. That's God's key. Next verse. He will swallow up death in victory. And Lord will wipe away tears from off our faces, and the rebuke of sin shall take away from off our. Therefore, the Lord has spoken it. Next verse. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is, where did they see him? In you. It was in you they saw him. Say, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. The centurion saw God in Jesus. And he said, I also am a man under authority. Who told him he was under authority? He read it. Brethren, people can read us. People are reading you. And the best evangelism is the life evangelism. The one that you live before men. Amen? Amen. And of course, finally, as we close, it's important to say that Jesus is the first person to pass from death, from the form of man to the form of God. Okay, so he went to hell and died and rose up from the dead. So the dominion Adam lost through the sin image is now restored by the power of the Spirit without measure through the Christ image. So that Christ image that God puts in us is now what gives us access to the Spirit without measure by the grace of God that we then use to, the Bible talks about tasting of the powers to come. Pastor again has preached this, is eating of the power of the ages to come. Is that same resurrection power? It's the same resurrection, just that it was in a measure before. Now it's without measure. So it's that same power now that's going to rule the ages to come, and it begins to affect all men and all creation. Look at Isaiah 65. Verse 17 to 25. Isaiah 65. That's our last scripture. For behold, I create present continuous. Oh, am I right, man? Present continuous. I create a new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But then forget the former things. Forget the former defeats. Yes, the grave closed, the things that are past, reaching forth for the things that are before. Start pressing on for the things that are ahead. Next verse, quickly. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. He's doing it right now. Amen. For behold, I create Jerusalem a what? Rejoicing, and her people a joy. Next verse. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be heard no more in her, nor the voice of crying. Amen. Next verse. There shall be no more thence an infant of days. It's power working in the mortal flesh. No, an old man that I know this is talking about the millennium, but there's an application in today. We can bring it forward into today. No, an old man that has not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years. Can you imagine? But it's true. When they were dying in those days, it was 900 years, Adam. It was 9, then it came to 8. No, that exponential decrease, pastor said, is going to be an exponential increase. Amen. Next verse. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Next verse. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat in Jesus' name. For as the days of a tree are, the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Next verse. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them is generational. Amen. It's generational. Your obedience is affecting your generation. It's worth it, brethren. It's worth it. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will what? Answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will what? Hear. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. The wolf and the lamb shall what? Feed together. Is it possible? The wolf normally eats the lamb. But in this day, because the power of God is sustaining creation through us, creation will operate according to God's design. This current form is Satan's design. But we're going to correct it by the grace of God. Amen. And the lion shall eat straw. That'll be good for the zoologists. All right? And like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. That's our destiny, brethren. Let us pray.
Give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. What a word. What a word. Brethren, I want you to do something today. In 2-3 minutes. Check your progress. Everybody bow your head. The Lord has spoken to us through Pastor Conley. Say, when you get born again, you're given the earnest. All those parables Jesus told about the person who had the gift. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who wants to travel to a far country. Then he called his servants, you know, and he gave them each one. He said, when the man came back, one guy got 5. One guy got 2. He said, the other guy put it under the ground. You know, oftentimes people interpret that thing as meaning some kind of natural ability that God gives you. They use it for motivational messages. That application is probably not wrong. It's just that it's not really focused on what God was really talking about. God has given, the Bible says God has gone to every man the measure of faith. All of us had the same thing. Same one cobble, same one, same earnest. What are you doing with it? That earnest is supposed to help you to redeem the rest of the purchased possession, as it's so beautifully brought out. So through prayer and the multiplication of the word and the blood, you are supposed to be redeeming back this soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the body. How can you check your progress? Check your words. To what degree are you able to control your tongue? Very important. Don't condemn yourself. We're actually going to have a communion service, not today, but next Sunday. But this is a good place for us to begin to think. And like Pastor Kule said, you know, let's just read these things in abstract. Let's believe them. The problem with most of the church is that they don't believe these things. The second thing you want to check is your obedience level. It should be increasing. Should be more obedient. The fruit of obedience should be more of a doer of the word. Be more obedient. More obedient to instruction. More obedient to correction. And then the last thing he talked about was increase in control of your environment. He used Elijah as a type, controlling the elements. The Lord Jesus, the same thing. Where the word of the king is, there is power. There's another scripture. He didn't mention that one, but it's also there. It says the king sits on the throne and he scatters all things with his eyes. Evil. You know, with your thoughts, you should be able to control things. Your thoughts don't generate power. Your words generate power, but your thoughts direct it. Instead of behaving just like an ordinary man, when there's a problem, you start crying and making noise. You just say, peace, be still. Even if you don't talk, you just say, peace, and there will be peace. Say, how? We're not going to stand at a high level, but even in your little environment. And I think the beautiful thing he said was that control yourself first. Yourself first. So your words, your temper, your emotions, how much control do you have? Let's put it this way. How much control is being made manifest? So you can program, you can check your progress and say, ah, God, help me. I'm not going to let this honest waste. So all these tongues and life scriptures and I clean with the blood, I want it to produce something I can see. I want it to produce better control over my words, better control, you know, over my actions, my obedience, better control over my sphere of influence. Control. This is the whole thing. Control by the Spirit now. Control by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the better control you have, the more power God will release. The better control you have, the more power God will release. Until finally, you come to a place where He knows He can completely trust you. And then He now releases the Spirit without measure. Which, as He has said, that's the key to the discipleship of the nations. The reason why the church now can't evangelize and disciple the nations, we don't, that kind of power is not yet being made manifest through the church. So there is still this veil upon the nations. But when this word, this level of word comes, it will break the veil over the nations. And we're right on the verge of it. So talk to God. Say, God, help me. So that it's not just talk. And these are simple, practical things. You know, each person can gauge themselves. Gauge your talk. Gauge your actions, your obedience. Gauge your influence, you know, your control, particularly over yourself, your body, your mind, your emotions, your environment. Wife, children, if you're married, you know, even if you're not married, you know, even your, wherever you step, there should be some degree of control of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you override men's wills, but there will just be an influence of the Spirit that will make men want to do the right thing around you. Like they did with Jesus. There's a song God put in Pastor Kunle's heart, and I want us to sing that song. It's taken from the Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, but it's the last stanza. Come, desire of nations, come. The last stanza. It's beautiful because it really captures the spirit of this message. Of nations come, fixing us, thy humble hope. Rise the woman's conquering sea, bruising us, the serpent's head, Adam's likeness. Above. Hallelujah. thy perfect love.
Herald angels sing.
Glory,
glory to the Lord.
We're going to sing it again, but just before we sing it, give me the words exactly. I want to just give a prophetic understanding. You see, many times we just sing hymns, just sing, and a lot of times the true meaning, we don't get it. Come. We're talking about the coming of the Lord. It's not rapture. He's talking about Jesus coming in the church. I shared with us some weeks ago. He said to be admired and to desire amongst all them that be. When people see the glory of God, when they see that perfection, that fullness, it's going to attract people. So he says, come, this is what the nations desire. Pastor Kune touched on it from Isaiah 25. He says, when he comes, he says, they will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. That's the desire of the nations. The desire is Jesus, but it's Christ in us. Then look at the next line. He says, fix in us thy humble hope. You are not going to get this without humility. And that's why we shared the other time about permanent humility. Fix in us. Rise. The woman's conquering seed. Watch this. You've got the nature of God in your spirit, but you've still got the nature of the devil in the mind, the will, the emotion, and the body. So you know what's happening? The nature here is rising. And as it rises, that's when you confess the word, you clean with the blood, you clean with the, you load with the word, you fire by the spirit. What you're doing is you're taking what is here. You're taking the woman's seed, which is Jesus. You know, it says the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. So you're taking it to rise. As it rises, you know what's going to do? It starts begin to dominate. It begins to dominate and to flush out. So it's bruising in us the serpent's head. That satanic nature, causing Adam's likeness to gradually be rubbed out, to be effaced. Next verse. Then it's now stamping. Pastor Kunle mentioned this in the message. Stamp thy image. You know when you stamp something, it's there permanently. It's a branding. Thank you, Pastor G. You stamp it. And you know, we in business circles, we have what's called a seal. It's made of some kind of steel and all of that. You put the paper in between it. Then you now press it. When you press it, the image of that particular organization is now impressed inside the paper permanently. That's why sometimes you're under pressure. God is stamping you. He's stamping his character. He's stamping it in the mind. He's stamping it in the will. He's stamping it. And sometimes it's not comfortable. In fact, that's the reason why affliction is an important. You know what this is? Affliction is a catalyst. In chemistry, there's something called a catalyst. A catalyst speeds up the rate of a reaction, but does not take place in the reaction. The affliction will not perfect you. What perfects you is the blood, the word, and the spirit. But affliction will increase the rate at which the work of the blood and the spirit is working. So it's a catalyst that hastens. It hastens. That's why the Bible says, tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Let patience have her perfect work. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, for knowing this, that the trying of your patience worketh experience. The trying makes you perfect. So the patience, the affliction is an essential catalyst. If it is not there, you will not move fast enough to perfection. It won't be stamped in. It's a whole part of the system. Then he says, second Adam from above. And that's the Lord Jesus, of course. Reinstate us in thy perfect love. Hark! And this is good. Listen to this. Hark! The herald angels say. You know what the angels now? The angels, the pastors. The Bible says the angel of the church at Ephesus. God is telling the church, hearken now to what the angels are saying. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Glory to the newborn king. I would change that. Glory to the risen king. See, Jesus was a baby in Bethlehem. He's not a baby anymore. He's the risen king. Now let's sing it. Sing with understanding now. Go to the beginning. Come,
desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering sea,
bruise in us
the serpent's head.
Adam's likeness.
Serpent's head.
Adam's likeness.
Adam's likeness. Now it is turned an image in its place. Second Adam from above. Restated thy perfect.
Hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. We're going to pray, and I want you to pray with faith, which comes by hearing and this word that you have heard. We're in the season, we're in the time. That's why all this truth is tumbling out at such a tremendous rate, with such clarity and simplicity, even a child can understand it. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Oh, my Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning through your servant, reminding me, my God, that, Lord, it is your purpose to transform me into your image, to cause that image to be stamped in my mind, my will, my emotions, my physical body so that men will see you in me. I understand you have given me the earnest, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of praying in tongues so that I can use it and your blood and your word to cause this divine character of love to be perfected in my soul and in my body. And as I do this, you'll be releasing to me greater and greater measures of your power that I will see in my words, that I will see in my actions of obedience, that I will see in the control of my environment. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, to translate these things from words to actions. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, you may be seated.